What is up, everyone? Welcome to a Neon Gaming Dimension on-topic discussion for you. Coming live at you on twitch.tv/neonpocketdimension, but you can catch it later on YouTube at youtube.com/@neongamingdimension. That's where all of our good gaming content comes to you. I am your host, Gage Luke, aka Luke Shot First, and to my digital right, to the left, I don't know, you never know, stage right, is the man, the myth, the legend, Jake, the DM, the Dungeon Master, Jacob Jones.
Wow, you call me the Dungeon Master. I'm honored, thank you very much.
Don't tell Miguel.
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble, dude.
Hell yeah,
you're going to be a lot of trouble today.
It's going good. I'm a little bit under the weather. My kids started daycare last week, and so therefore it's just like germ warfare, you know, and she got me a little bit of the sniffles, so if my voice is a little funky today, I apologize, but it's just the life of a newly daycared individual.
Yep. Children are slimy, sticky, they drop things all over your house that you step
they're big on finding filth.
They are super spreaders. They're carriers. And I don't know what else. And they're loud.
They're definitely that. They're definitely just perpetually got a little bit of nose gunk, and then they take all their stuff that's on their face and they just put it right into your mouth. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, thanks for that.
It's a nightmare. This is a living nightmare. I hate it. I hate to hear it.
But I'm also cute, good. Though. I've been making. If I'm also a little echoey, I've been making not soundboards. What do you call them?
Sound foam dampeners
and stuff.
Oh,
so that's
been
cool.
That's it yourself?
I have been. I got some foam, and then I made some cool stuff over the top. So I'm stoked. Sick.
Nice. Looks cool. It looks like constellations.
They are constellations. Yeah, ooh. That's cool. So that's gonna be good. They're not up this week, but they will be next week. So I won't have any echoey BS. But
yeah, I don't hear.
How are you doing?
I don't hear anything. You know what I mean? You're fine. It'll just be better, even better. It's already good. Better. It's gonna be even good. Better.
Hell you know yeah. what I'm saying? Well, how you doing? How you doing tonight, Mr. Jones?
I'm all right, man. I'm chilling. You know, I'm a little tired. I don't know, but I feel like I'll be more energized as we go along.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I am pretty excited about a couple things here. First of all, I got this new Knight's hat.
That's fresh.
Golden Knight's hat from Lids. It's pretty sweet.
It's looking crisp, you know, and clean. I dig that.
It's different from my other ones because it's just the black and white, which I think is cool and could match like pretty much any outfit.
Anything. So I dig it. Yeah, totally.
And then I got this hat right now. Or not hat, I'm sorry. By the way, I'm sharing my sub anniversary to my own channel. So, you know, this is what you got to do sometimes.
Sometimes it's what you got to do.
But no, I'm hella stoked for my new shirt that I did get from Target, but I think you can appreciate it. Let me show it to you.
Wow. It's so like in your face in the best way possible. That's great.
Hello there. And we got some new sounds.
We have some sounds.
Let's start with this one. Here's another good one.
My anus is bleeding. Yay!
That's a good one. And then
I got one for you.
Totally and completely badass.
Agreed. One more.
Never give up. Never surrender.
That's right. Great movie.
That's for all my homies out there in Helldivers.
What?
You know, you gotta. Got to bring the fight to the automatons and defend Super Earth. You know what I'm saying?
Those automatons.
Automatons.
Cool game.
You know it.
Cool game, man. One day.
I'm envious. I will play it someday. It'll be good.
Yeah. You know what came out today, though? And this is gamer news. And it's out as of like an hour ago. The Fallout TV show, which is getting rave reviews. Yeah. I just want to call that out and just say, like, you know, can't wait to watch it. We're going to have to wait till Friday. That's when we can binge it. And that's going to be a great time. So don't spoil it for me. But I don't think it's like one of those type of shows anyway. I think it'll just be like a fun romp.
I think so too. I think it's going to be kind of like a Dungeons and Dragons Honor Amongst Thieves kind of vibe. You know what?
What?
I mean? But yeah, I'm very excited to jump into it. Everyone's reviews coming out across the internet have me very excited. So, and I love the Fallout games, so I think it's going to be a good time. If you don't know what this show is, we are, this is going to be kind of our topic discussion show. You know, we started our gaming channel to break out gaming into its very own content. So if you like gaming content, you can find it all in one place. So this is going to be called Neon Topic, where we discuss, you know, different overall kind of big overarching stories that are kind of finding their way through the gaming media space. So things like games as a service, things like, you know, corporate consolidation, which might not be so much fun. You know, maybe something more along the lines of like JRPGs or something like big, you know, like that. I know Steven wants to come on and talk like the end of Destiny 2 and all that and how that how that looks. So but today what we're going to do is we're going to talk some next gen stuff. I think overall over the past couple of weeks, I think every major publisher or every major console maker has kind of had some news in the field of next gen stuff. You know, it feels like maybe it's a little early to talk about that stuff, except for with the Switch, maybe. But we're technically like halfway through the standard generation time. So, so yeah, I figure we're just gonna dive into a little bit about some of the news going on there, and then give our thoughts on it and how we're feeling. So hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of chatter right now around at least the two big guys, and I'm not talking about Nintendo. Nintendo's big too. And we've been talking about that a lot, you know, but it's more of the rumor mill. So this is a good, it's a fun topic. It's like early on, it's enough time to speculate. And we've gotten enough information, at least from like reporting and such. So I think we'll just, you know, it's be a fun time to like hype up the future. One thing in particular about these next gen consoles is exciting to me, even though like technically I'm not ready for them yet. Since we're just still scratching the surface of this generation, even though the promises of 60 frames per second, 4K, or 120 frames per second on console isn't really happening the way that it's been advertised. But hey, it's cool, man. It's cool. At least you can, at least you can play the games.
At least you can play the games. You know, this generation in particular is such a weird one because it's the first of the generations to really truly be kind of cross compatible. You know, where so many of the games that were on PS4 are playable on PS5 and certainly on the Xbox field, and then vice versa, where a lot of the modern games that have been coming out are still playable on the old consoles, on at least on like the, you know, the Xbox One and then even the PS4, like God of War Ragnarok was still playable on PS4, right? So like, you know, some of these big games, pardon me, are still coming out on last gen or coming out for, are playable on last gen stuff. So the lines are kind of blurred between console stuff. And then also there was all the manufacturing issues because of the pandemic. And even just supply chain stuff, right? So for so many people, like for me, the first time I saw a PlayStation 5 in the wild was like several months ago, like just on a store shelf, you know what I mean?
Very recently, you know what I mean? So, you know, a lot of people still don't even have these consoles at this point.
Totally. And like, honestly, because of the way that the generation has been going that way, there was a time where I probably had the money for a PS5 to like, to do that. Before my daughter was born, but there was just none available, so I didn't get it then. And exactly, and then once I had my daughter, I couldn't really justify having all three consoles and, you know, whatever, you know. So so like someone like me who definitely isn't enthusiast enough to have all the consoles still might not be fully embedded, and I, you know, I will eventually, but I'll have a bunch of fun games to play. But it doesn't necessarily even seem like I'm missing out on that much right now, even though I probably am in some ways. But
well, you know, PlayStation specifically has been a place of exclusive games for a long time. The good thing these days is they are porting a bunch of their games to PC, and I always say having a gaming PC is pretty badass. I'm pretty happy this year with my PC. But like, you know, if you don't want to throw down all that cash, just getting a PS5 will allow you to play a bunch of games that you can't play anywhere else. Yep. And that's, I mean, that's by design. You know, it does kind of suck that it's a fact, but I mean, you know, look at Nintendo. We'll never play Nintendo games that not on a Nintendo console, like ever.
Seriously. Yeah.
So it is what it is, and you know, just have to deal with that. But hey, are you missing out? Yeah.
Yeah, on some stuff. You are. But it just doesn't feel like,
for sure.
It doesn't feel like kind of the I guess the PS4 just had this kind of heyday of like Sony just firing on all cylinders, getting all of their studios to have these big first party drops that were like all getting, you know, between 8 and 10, and even Days Gone, which was like probably the bottom of that kind of tier, was still like really beloved by fans, even if it wasn't critically acclaimed. So yeah. It's like, you know, I just haven't, as much as there's been really great games on this, on this, on the PlayStation, like, you know, Miles Morales and the Demon's Souls remake and Ragnarok certainly and things like that, like I haven't felt like it's quite as like punchy as it has been.
If you know anything about what's kind of been going on with PlayStation Studios, like they shifted to games as a service. It seemed they had like all sorts of games of a service as a service type games coming down the pipeline, but they basically like they put the kibosh on a lot of those, from what I understand, and some are still being developed. But I mean, like, look no further than Last of Us. What's it called again?
It used to be factions, but they were just calling it like The Last of Us Online, I think.
Or right. But yeah, that was like, we were all excited for that. You know, we were like, well, it could just be like a mode, and it wasn't bundled in Last of Us Part Two. Then they were working on this whole thing that got canceled alongside many other things. But there's a few other games that are still being developed, or, I mean, hopefully we only saw CG trailers for. So, you know, a lot of people speculate that the time they were spending on those games is essentially wasted. That could have, you know, been the time where single player games could have come out by now, or at least been teased or whatever. So
we at least have the slate of what's coming up in the next year or so. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, PlayStation's in a really weird position right now, where usually they've been the place with all games and Xbox has no games, and like the shoe's on the other foot, it seems like, these days.
Totally.
But, you know, I guess think the forward thinking that PlayStation had to like secure exclusives through Square Enix, because Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is in the game of the year discussion this year, an exclusive to their console, but not made by their, you know, by their teams or anything. So I don't know. It's just, we're in kind of a weird year. And it's another reason why I think people are already looking toward the next generation, because they feel like what, 7 years has been kind of the timeline for consoles, and like, how many years are we in now? Like three-ish?
We're three and some change because of when the consoles came out, you know, we're like pretty much directly halfway, which is, you know, it's interesting. The Xbox was 2019, 2020. It came out. Yeah. The most recent, the Series X. I think, you know, on the one hand, I don't really feel like, I think the big thing that's going to shift, like, games don't really feel like, and they haven't really for a few generations now, but it doesn't feel like there's this big shift, right, in console or in generation to generation, where, like, you know, obviously the SNES to 3D, or even I would say the 64 era to the following era, was like a pretty big jump, you know, the really rigid polygonal stuff, or like the PS1 to PS2, where you're getting these fully realized, you know, PS2, GameCube is, and even Xbox is really where you saw the beginning of what I'd say modern gaming was, right? Like first person shooters being dual stick, you know, all that kind of stuff. Resident Evil 4 looked like Resident Evil 4 back then, and you know, even though they remade it, like, it was still pretty, it held up for all intents and purposes, you know. Metal Gear Solid, all those games still really hold up, you know, like, you know, that kind of stuff. So
Yeah, no, I mean, that's honestly, that is the thing. I was just talking to someone about this. Like, retro games to me hold up, but the whole old game is old mentality is, like, annoying to me. But I just tried to understand that, like, you know, there's just been so many advancements in game design, totally. Controls, beyond graphics. I mean, graphics is quality also of life stuff. Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, with that, it's, I'm just trying to say, play retro games and just take them for what they are. That's always my message to you. Slightly off topic, but just saying that you are right to say that back in the day, the leaps between consoles were huge, especially when we went from 2D to 3D. I mean, that was insane. I mean, I think that's why I romanticize the PlayStation 1 era so much. Totally. You know, because N64 was first, and it was excellent, but PS1 had more detail because of the way that, you know, the capabilities of the PlayStation 1.
Well, and the fact that they weren't, you know, that you could fit so much more on a CD, yeah. right? And so that allowed things like Final Fantasy to have cutscenes that were out of this world. You know what I mean? Like, as opposed to Nintendo, where you really couldn't do that much as far as, like, big, like, you know, rendered animation video and stuff like that. So a lot of the cutscenes are more like in-engine cutscenes and things like that, you know, like Banjo-Kazooie, for instance, is like a pretty good looking game, especially on the, for that time. But like, still the cutscenes aren't like all of a sudden done by Blur Studio type of thing, the way that Final Fantasy would like cut to a cutscene that looked insane at the time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, Every console generation has diminishing returns, and it's always good to reflect upon, you know, the past when it comes to these leaps. But I think that nowadays it's not as much just graphics or like what is really perceivable. It's more performance, because like lighting, like the biggest things we have right now, like coming forward or going forward, is lighting being amazing. And, you know, real-time reflections. But mostly, like, what's going to drive this next generation is DLSS and FSR. Like, that AI-assisted performance, like, up and downscaling stuff. So, like, you know, if right now you're thinking, oh, my Series X or my PS5, you know, I wish it, like, still had... Like, we didn't have to put things in performance mode, right? Because then you're losing that crisp 4K. I wish I could have 60 frames at the higher, like, you know, balanced or graphics mode, right? But with DLSS and FSR, that will be possible. And I think that's going to be the big thing with the next consoles. And then, you know, who knows? I mean, in what,
I also 3 years,
there could be new technology that makes, like, SSDs faster or, like, you know, easier to have more space. I don't know. We'll see.
All of that. Yeah, I definitely think that. And then I also think that the big thing that we, I think one of the main reasons why this generation doesn't feel like it's fully up to snuff yet is because people are just starting to utilize Unreal Engine 5. And like once that's in full swing, like I think we're all going to feel a big push. Like Senua's Saga is going to be a big move, I think, towards that. And there's been a few other games that have been on Unreal Engine, but like, I don't know if you played the Matrix demo when they had that thing.
I sure did.
I'm sure Gears 6 is an Unreal Engine 5 game, because, you know, they've got such close ties with Unreal. Mm-hmm. Marcus Fenix being an Unreal character at one point.
He's pretty unreal.
He's pretty unreal. I mean, his shoulders don't make any sense, so, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I think Unreal Engine 5 is going to be that other big thing that we see graphical leaps with all the facial structure. I know we have that game, 1943, the Amy Hennig game with Captain America and Black Panther. That's going to be an Unreal Engine 5 game. So we're going to start to see these things roll out, and I think it's going to make a big difference in facial animations, all that kind of stuff. But the thing you were talking about as far as performance goes, mm-hmm. the only thing that I'm interested about that is, like, on some level, it still requires the studios to be able to get their game running at that sort of thing. Like, for instance, we just saw a huge release for Xbox and Bethesda with Starfield come out, and it was, you know, 30 frames per second. But like you said, things like DLSS or whatever their equivalent they put onto the console could potentially help that, right? Is that, does that make sense? Is that true?
Yeah, yeah. So that is the, I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, my how old my laptop is. That thing held up for a long time. And that is because I had an RTX card in there that could utilize DLSS. Plenty of games I would, you know, be playing at the worst settings or would probably be unplayable without that. And if we can get that on consoles, which, you know, it seems like they are working toward that with this next generation, then that's huge. That's massive. You know, GeForce has kind of been leading the charge with their RTX cards that work great with DLSS now 3.0 and such. But, you know, FSR is making strides and it's still a great, you know, option for AMD card users. And typically with these console makers, the consoles usually have AMD cards within them. So, you know, I could just see the next generation being a leap in performance and what you see. Because, like, you know, I mean, it is downscaling a bit and such, but it really is imperceptible for the most part. You're just getting, you know, what looks to be a 4K, but you're hitting those frames that you're looking for. And typically TVs aren't higher than 60 frames, so you don't need to target like 120 or higher, like a PC gamer dropping like $1,500 on a tower would be.
Yeah, and this Tom's Guide article that you put in here, it does kind of close out with them saying there is also talk of Sony using something akin to AMD's FSR to enhance the new console's performance, something like that. So, like you said.
So do you want to kind of get into each of these three? Like, I pulled up all sorts of information, copied it for you.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. So we'll start with the green team green, right? We've, you know, when we had the developer underscore direct earlier this year, I know Sarah Bond was out on stage talking about how they've got some here. The quote is, "We've got more to come. There's some exciting stuff coming out in hardware that we're going to share this holiday. We've also invested in the next generation roadmap. What we're really focused on is delivering the largest technical leap you will have ever seen in a hardware generation, which makes it better for players and better for creators and the visions that they are building." Big words. I mean, that is sometimes just kind of the way that people speak, especially corporate heads, speak about these types of things. You know, I've heard it from like Tim Cook and Apple so many times, and yet you're like, okay, well, my iPhone 12 really wasn't that different from my iPhone 11 or what, you know, whatever, but technically it probably is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, the other thing that we talk about is things like, you know, 8K TVs aren't realistic for consumers right now, and maybe they will be in 6 years or something like that, but like right now they're not, you know. So it's like, well, yeah. And so it's just an interesting thing to say, but at the same time, like, the Xbox is essentially just a PC, right? So they are just maybe just jumping way up in quality there. We'll see.
I mean, next generation, what, largest technical leap is the line that, like, I am dwelling on. Because, I mean, Series X feels like a large technical leap. What kind of technical leap could we be making that would be that big of a claim? I mean, it's corpo speech, right? They're trying to say, hey, investors or, you know, the board or whatever, like, you know, bullshit. We're going to be making something really good. So just, you know, keep putting your money in Xbox stock, please. Thank you. We're fine to take it for what it's what she's actually saying. Like, that is a bold ass claim. So
like, you know, maybe technically it's because of something like that, and then maybe it's also just like the actual like amount of teraflops or whatever they're talking is going to be the largest leap they've done, and the amount of that kind of stuff goes on. But you know, how much that actually affects the consumer is to be seen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell.
Yeah, and this holiday, so it sounds like maybe, you know, around the big holiday times, we'll see something about that. I'm assuming if they're talking about this type of thing, it's probably talking about next gen entirely. There was the leaked court documents that, or not even the leaked, the mistakenly uploaded court documents had all of that stuff about the the cylindrical Xbox, but that was, I think, just going to be a discless Xbox. The Brooklyn, I think it was codenamed Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was anything in there about actual like power upgrade necessarily. I think it was just a form factor and disk drive-less Xbox.
Yeah, I could take a look at that. But you're referring to the leaked documents, right? From the case. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the other thing. Like, you know, we all want to look at that as the gospel. And a lot of that could just be prototypes that are not even absolutely. Like are completely defunct at this point.
It can be total internal meetings that about something that never occurred. Like people do mock-ups all the time for like a product we're going to do in the future. You know what I mean? But
yeah, totally. That's a thing. So we just got to always take those things with a grain of salt. But
yeah,
on the other side of the coin, it is information we're privy to. So
totally. Yeah, exactly. There's a little guy, just like a Wi-Fi thing or something, or like an Alexa.
Yeah, it really does look like an Alexa. But yeah, I mean, this was the window pane that we saw, or whatever, the slide. I don't know why I said window pane.
I was like, maybe that's a new internal term I'm not privy to.
Window pane X, series Y.
Because they're windows, you know? I'm like, all right.
Yeah, so it's just like an all digital upgrade. Yeah, form factor. I think there was slight upgrade-y stuff, or maybe newer features that are.
It's smaller, right? So
yeah,
you know, it's supposed to be quite a bit smaller than the Series X.
So you know, more it seems more of like a mid-gen refresh, as they like to say. Which just means like the PS4 Slim over the regular fat one, you know,
totally.
Whatever.
The thing that's interesting also about this generation that it kind of strikes me as different from previous ones is that usually when they do those mid-gen updates, one of the reasons that it's kind of okay is because it usually makes that the previous SKU goes down like $50 in price, right? Mm-hmm. Where that we're seeing the opposite right now. Like, you know, both PlayStation and Xbox have gone up in price in certain regions around the world, not necessarily in America, but so that's interesting, you know. And an Xbox has been leaning on its Series S to be the more, you know, quote unquote budget machine.
Yeah.
And then I would be interested. I know this rumor went away, but it was about a year ago. It was pretty fervent of the Xbox maybe doing something like a streaming dongle, you know, something like that.
Oh yeah, for TVs. Well, it's because they partnered with Samsung for their TVs, and they're just like bundling it into, you know, there. I'm sure like LG wants a piece or whatever, but I mean,
totally,
really, they're still working on their game streaming stuff. Like X Cloud is what they called it before. Now it's just called like Game Pass. It's just Game Pass Stream or Game Pass Cloud or whatever they want to call it. Because everything is Game Pass now, even Xbox Live Gold is Game Pass Core, right? So that's just sort of their whole identity is Game Pass. So like, you know, because they keep improving Game Pass Cloud, they're like, for instance, they've added mouse and keyboard support to using it on your PC. They're also allowing you to access it from a browser, so you can get into it from like any phone. You know, I could see them still working on like some sort of dongle. You know, just like what's it called?
Fire Stick or whatever.
Or, one of those.
Yeah, Apple TV
what's the one we use? I forget what
it's
called. Chromecast? No. Yeah, that's right.
Is it Chromecast?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Game Pass, eventually. Chromecast.
Chromecast. God, that's a.
I mean, have to realistically, it would make sense for them to just be like, hey, Chromecast, Apple, Fire Stick, just let us put it on there. Just let us make an app. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then that honestly makes way more sense.
Yeah, because I'm sure they have to pay them a slight premium, but then it's like win-win because people are buying the device still, but then
And those devices are so ubiquitous that like it would just be a thing where it's like, oh, you can just get it on there now. So now everyone who owns those can just access it and, you know, whatever. Speaking of this, just to kind of keep going on it, another place that Xbox strategy seems to be, we're going to go wherever you are. You know what I mean? We're going to put Xbox, especially Game Pass, wherever it is that you game or consume media in general. You know, that's been their their strategy seemingly is to just, you know, be another streaming service essentially in that way. So we've been hearing about and talking about this kind of fabled Xbox handheld. Now, it's been a rumor for a long time, I think probably generations, but like there seems to be a little bit more, you know, evidence that it might be in the works. One, because of the rise in PC handhelds like the ROG Ally, the Lenovo Legion, you know, of course, the Steam Deck, and even what the Switch has been doing. I say it was a pioneer for a lot of those.
Yeah.
And like kind of showing these companies the reality of this type of stuff. But in a recent interview, we have things from Phil Spencer saying, we see a lot of opportunity in different types of devices, and we'll share specifics on our future hardware plans as soon as we're ready. I'm a big fan of handhelds. I'm a big fan, but there's nothing to announce. Mm-hmm. Paraphrase that a little bit, but yeah. I mean, so I think
he pretty much said we have nothing to announce right now.
Yeah,
totally. Right. That doesn't mean that, I mean, they're not going to announce stuff until they're ready to announce stuff, right? That doesn't mean we're not announcing something because we have nothing in the works. That's asinine to think that way. Just
totally.
In case you were thinking that way, viewer, listener, whatever.
These guys have had plans about this type of stuff, at least working and talking and discussions for years at this point, probably. And whether they're, you know, the thing about Xbox is that, or not Xbox, but Microsoft, is typically they're not really a hardware manufacturer. I mean, of course they've done stuff. There's Microsoft laptops. There was a Microsoft phone for a little while. Nice. but you
thanks,
know,
Microsoft
isn't, you know, as much of a hardware producer as Sony is, for instance. Mm-hmm. You know, where Sony makes laptops and TVs, and a huge amount of their sales for the Sony as an overall company is consumer electronics, where Microsoft is typically more about software. So on the one hand, I can see them like, I could see it going two ways. I could see it going where they really work with the Steam Deck or the ROG Ally or Lenovo or maybe one specific one of those to really make Xbox like at home on one of those like handhelds.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can boot up Windows, it's got the Xbox app right on it, everything works seamlessly. You know, they even maybe make a SKU of Game Pass or like a, you know, some sort of downsampled something, you know, to be able to make most, if not all, games work on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially Game Pass PC, you know what I mean, would probably be what it is.
Right.
Either that or they make a dedicated handheld that I would say is probably more like those types of things, where it's more of like a handheld PC than it is a handheld Xbox, is what I would think.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, you know, it's going to be something akin to like the Zune, or not the Zune, the
shout out to the Zune.
That ROG Ally, or like a, you know, a Steam Deck. I could see him doing that, because like PlayStation has released something that's basically like a streaming tablet with a controller around it, essentially.
Yeah,
almost like,
and not even necessarily streaming, really just localized streaming, right, for the most part.
No, I mean, you could stream it, you could like essentially, if you're on a trip, right?
Yeah.
You have your PlayStation 5 connected to the internet at home, you could play your PlayStation 5 on it, and it's like a device. But then you could do the same thing with a, you know, a controller attached to your actual phone using the app. Totally. So I don't know. It's just like, to me, that's just a weird device, but people seem to like it. Xbox
could
do something similar.
Device for sure.
Yeah. I don't see them doing that. Like if they're going to put out a handheld, it won't be a streaming device. Like we just talked about how they could do like a dongle or bundle it in with this, or it's in TVs. Like they have their streaming shit down. If they're going to if they're going to create a handheld, it'll be like a, you know, a device, it'll be like a computer in your hands, just like a Steam Deck.
I think it'll be a Windows running native, you know, Windows, what are they on, 11? Like, you know, they'll have like a new, you know, handheld OS version of it, of 11. And, you know, they make, you know, they just make a really well integrated Xbox app, you know?
See, as much as I want that, I think it'd be great to have a little handheld like Windows device. Xbox it's not running on a Windows OS. Xbox has like its own OS in it. I could see the handheld just being an Xbox, only a handheld. You know what I mean? So it'll have that OS. You know, it won't be Windows. Like, that's what I would theorize. But I would love that so much. Like, that would be fucking cool as hell. Because then you could install other marketplaces Steam. And stuff, you know?
Or, Epic Game Store or whatever. And and I think in some ways, I don't know, Phil's a pretty, like, you know, I think he would see that maybe, you know, Xbox seems to get the fact that they're the smallest ecosystem out of the big three, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think he sees to get with things like software going to other platforms.
Yeah.
And things like that, there's a lot of money to be made by opening the walled garden, you know, and it's obvious because Microsoft has done that with their softwares forever with Office. You know, you get Office on Apple, right. No problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And therefore, because of that, they're making the freaking big bucks. You know, trillion dollar company type of shit, you know? Mm. So.
As if.
Let's talk about Sony. A PS5 Pro is the big rumored thing right now. So that mid-gen refresh as we talk, but this one may be doing a little bit more under the hood. Yeah, we have from Inside Gaming says Sony is prepping a PS5 Pro enhanced label like on the PS4 Pro to show which games can take advantage of the superior hardware. Insider Gaming has expanded on the below PS5 Pro specs. Leak with even more details indicated that the developers have now access to the console's hardware kits. So they're out in the wild, potentially. Oh my god, this is so good.
I need a weapon.
The just total, it just looks like such a,
it's a router.
This mock-up that we're seeing is such a router. It's so good.
This is like the image that I saw before. I don't think there's any like official stuff, like, so this, take this picture with a grain of salt. There's some other pictures too, like, what the fuck is this? I don't know.
Yeah,
is it kind of similar? I don't know, but I mean, you know, I don't know if it's smaller. I look, the PS5 is an awesome piece of equipment. But it's like, it's weird, man. It looks weird.
It's super weird.
It's so tall. It's like a strangely constructed like skyscraper. It's just shaped strangely, and you can't put it on its side.
Yeah, it looks like Avengers Tower.
You put it on its side, and it just looks dumb. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Great console, don't get me wrong. Final Fantasy 16, great game on that console. But, like, it looks weird. So weird looking thing. So something like this is definitely a little more conventional. It's more box like. I'd put this thing on the side and it would look cool as hell, I think.
Totally. Yeah. That's a weird form factor of that old console. So if I could see them maybe going a little bit more medium, or maybe they just commit hard and just keep it weird and go even weirder. Who knows?
Seven sound.
According to the new video from YouTuber Moore's Law is Dead, PS5 Pro could house 67 teraflops of compute power, a mightily impressive APU boosting figure that appears to be assisted by machine learning. In real world gameplay terms, that may end up equating to a mere 33.5 teraflops of floating point performance. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but essentially just that, like, the processing power isn't going up by that much, even though there might be quite a bit more actual hardware in there. I still think a lot of the upgrades would come from something like an FSR or a DLSS type of vibe.
Hold on to your butts.
Here we go.
That's just a lot of technical jargon. Technical, sounds cool, could be better.
My big thing is there going to be a, you know, a prestige Sony you know, first party release to come out and kind of showcase this thing, you know, like kind of Horizon or Miles Morales was with PS5 I was talking about Horizon with the PSVR. Like, you know, are they just going to release Last of Us 2 remastered again for this, you know, for this thing?
No comment.
I'm sick of that.
No comment.
I feel like we don't need any more director's cut remastered things. Like, whereas on the Xbox side, everything's just upscaled when you play it on the Series X. cool, get it, you know.
Yeah, important thing to note, though, is that all this teraflop information is coming from, like, this YouTuber, and the video is no longer available, so, you know, this is more rumor. Like, with the PS5 stuff, it's more rumored, whereas with the Xbox stuff, we have, like, real statements from the people, you know, from Sarah Bond, from Phil Spencer, and a leaked email, you know, so that is something you can trust more. But with this PS5 information, it's more rumor, and even with the Switch stuff, which we'll get into in a sec, that's definitely rumored, although at least that's kind of coming more from, like, you know, journalists rather than, like, leakers. You know, just beware of the leakers and stop taking everything the leakers say as completely true.
As gospel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's fun to at least dig into it, you know? And so, like, I just wanted to put that out there that, like, you know, like, don't get mad at us if this shit is not true.
I think with Sony's hardware output is, like, they've been putting out so much hardware. And we've already talked about the situation that they're in with software. Not to say that they're in any dire position. They're definitely number one in the console space. They've got amazing games. A ton of, you know, Spider-Man 2 came out last year, was amazing. Like you said, third-party partnership that they've got going on. Like, there's no shortage of games to play over there on PlayStation.
No.
But they are asking a lot of their potential hardcore customer base to buy a PSVR that then they don't put out anything for. Yeah. By the handheld thing, the PSP,
the portal.
PlayStation Portal. I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
At least that has use, and people seem to like that. But yeah, you're totally right to criticize the PSVR too. So far, I mean, if you didn't have a VR device, I guess it's cool because there's a lot of games on there now. But, like, yeah, with the people buying the PSVR are the people who had the first one and still have a first one and might even have an Oculus or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know.
VR enthusiasts, but it's weird. I mean, there's no backwards compatibility on that stuff. So all of your PSVR1 games are not forward compatible. You know, they don't work on it.
That's strange.
And for me, if I'm buying a PSVR, if I'm buying a VR device, I'm buying a wireless one, you know, the Odyssey.
Yeah.
I mean, the Odyssey. Oculus, what do you call it? The MetaQuest is is $100 cheaper. You don't have to own a PlayStation to use it. There's no PC involved. It's just plug and play. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a Quest 1, which is now a little outdated. A lot of the games that are coming out for Quest these days don't run on it. But even that, like, is really pretty all right for all the VR that I'm asking to do, you know? So, so I don't know. It seems like they have really set that thing out to die, and I was really confused by their lack of marketing and lack of oomph behind it when it came out. So,
yeah, I agree. Just kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, why did you put it out in the first place? You know, like, just support your stuff. Like, what are you doing? But I would hope and expect whatever real hardware, like, you know, actual console coming out of the, you know, from Sony, would be something that they'd really market and want to have a, you know, more of an active relationship with.
Totally. And they probably would, but I mostly, what I'm saying is I want it to be supported with software that's coming out around that time period. And, you know, there's just a lot of trouble with game development right now. And so it's just one of those things where, especially if they bet a lot on games as a service and a lot of those, I think good for them on saying, like, if these games aren't working, we're not going to, like, force them to come out and, you know, screw a dev team over for 5 years trying to play catch up. Like, I'm glad The Last of Us got cut when it did. Like, if they couldn't find the fun in that game, or they couldn't figure out how to monetize or whatever, Naughty Dog just didn't want to become that type of studio. Like, I'm glad that they're not forced into doing it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, it's definitely a good thing. But
it does mean that we don't get a Naughty Dog game for a while, maybe, which kind of blows. So
we don't know anything for sure. And, you know, we're ecstatic for Summer Game Fest E3 time this year. I feel like we're all, I mean, not hurting, but we're all, like, ready for some kind of new announcement from someone. I could see something big coming from Sony this summer. And I'm really looking forward to whatever the hell Nintendo has to say. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it'd be great if PlayStation was like, PS5 Pro this fall or this holiday season, here's some games to be excited for on PS5, something exclusive, you know, whatever. So like that would be huge for them. And, you know, something that's big for one of these companies means that gamers win because we'd be feasting.
Yep. Hell yeah. All right. Well, quickly on that note, let's talk about Nintendo. Rumors were swirling around that that the Switch successor was slated for, this is from Polygon, in the past reported on the following, that the Switch successor is slated for a release in the second half of 2024, according to a new report from VGC citing anonymous development sources. Some key partner studios reportedly already have development kits from the device. But then, a little later, ooh, this is an interesting little mock-up, the dual screen Switch.
Yeah.
But then in a more current article, Nintendo is targeting a March 2025 release for the successor to the Switch, according to a Nikkei reporter who is, he's reported on a couple of other
Nikkei.
Things that have been true.
Nikkei is a Japanese like magazine, basically.
Magazine, right?
Yeah, so those got translated from Japanese to English.
And I believe they've reported on some Switch rumors that they've gotten right before.
They're reputable.
They're reputable. Console's release has slipped out of its original late 2024 window. Could be a manufacturing thing, like supply chain stuff. It seems like for whatever reason that this Switch thing is ready. And I think judging by the release, I think that the other reason that we're getting so much talk about this is that, you know, the way that Switch releases are kind of coming to a close, you know, have started to, whoa, this one's interesting. If you're watching the video version of this, Jacob is showing some potential mock-ups that have been going around the internet.
Mm-hmm.
What would you want from a Switch successor? I'm curious.
What would I want from a Switch successor? Well, number one, something more powerful than what we already have. That's a given.
100%.
Obviously.
Totally.
I might as well have said, I want the sky to be blue. I still want the functionality of the Switch. This big selling point for the Switch for me is portability, but also like the 100%. Hybrid nature of it is great. You know, I feel like it's hard to want to go back. Like if Nintendo comes out next year, let's say they come out 2025, sometime in the spring, and they're like, now announcing the new Nintendo family of consoles. We have the Nintendo Super Nintendo Snap Portable, and we have the Nintendo Pro, you know, Toadstool. And Fun now box. They have a fucking handheld and a console. I'll be sad, honestly, because I love that the Switch is really like easy to use in the form of like I can set it down, I could plug it into a TV, and then I could just pull it right up and play. I feel like you can't go back from that. It's too good of a deal to want to go back from that.
The other reason that is so nice is because it doesn't split their studios up developing for handheld and versus developing for home consoles, right? Because with the 3DS era, the problem that we got with that is you got all of these Zelda devs, for whatever reason, you know, working on A Link Between Worlds as opposed to a mainline Zelda game on the console. You know what I mean? So it made these longer gaps between their big franchises coming out. Ooh, I like this one.
Yeah. So according to the Nikkei article, apparently, like, it'll be what I'm saying. It'll be still a hybrid console that you can plug in or take out and play portably. It'll have a bigger screen. It will be more powerful and be closer to Gen 8, which is the Xbox One PS4 generation. Although I've heard that in closed door demonstrations, they were running the Matrix Unreal Engine demo. 5 demo on it. And it was running well. So that would make it better than Gen 8. You know what I mean? So I don't know. So that sounds promising to me, because like we all want Nintendo games to look and play well. We want it to be at least kind of close to the console generation. It is really falling behind. And it's kind of funny that I'm saying that, because like we were just saying, the console leaps aren't so big, but when you look at a Nintendo console, you really see that, you know, this is now technically two generations behind, at least in power and capability. You know what I mean? Because this thing was as good as like maybe an Xbox 360, like a little better than that, maybe.
A tad bit better, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when you're playing on handheld versus when you're playing dock, there's like a little bit of power differentiation. Yeah. But yet when you're playing on handheld, it's a smaller screen resolution, so you miss some of the flaws a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nintendo, don't get us wrong, has done masterfully at using art style and the type of games that they make to make this thing feel mm-hmm. like it really works. But I'm not going to lie. I sold my Switch recently because I'm probably going to get a Steam Deck here in the next little bit. I know. But you know what it was? My buddy had never played a Switch this whole generation. Him and his girl wanted to play a bunch of party like Mario games and mm-hmm. some of the Mario sports games and stuff. And like I said, I kind of want to invest in a Steam Deck, and in order to do so, I wanted to get a little money to put away towards it. So yeah. I sold him my Switch, and also I just played like all the games I'd really wanted to play on it. You know, there's nothing coming out this year that I cared about really. Maybe Thousand Year Door remake, but like. Hopefully whatever this Switch successor is going to be backwards compatible, you know? The Switch was starting to show its age for me. Like I would pick up the Switch, and having my nice Series X in the living room with my big badass 4K TV and my surround sound stereo system. And like, it was a very different experience from playing. Like if I ever docked my Switch, I was like, whoa, this is funky looking, you know? So
totally different. Well, the problem with the Switch is that in handheld mode is 720p and docked mode is 1080p. And we all got 4K. Mm-hmm. Most people have 4K TVs nowadays. At least I think so.
You can get like a basic 43-inch 4K TV for like $200, if that.
It is painfully like apparent whenever you're in 1080p on a 4K TV. It is like washed out, so much so that like Mochi, you all know that Mochi Squeeze does not play video games, but during the pandemic she was all over Animal Crossing, and she'd be playing it like in, you know, on the TV, and she'd be like, why does it look, what is wrong with it, why does it look weird? Yeah. And I'm like, even she can fucking tell. So yeah, totally, that's my point.
And then the menus themselves on the Nintendo Switch were like not even 1080, like the actual like switch between games menu. So like you'd look at all this jagged edging and stuff, and you're like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Again, in handheld, I didn't ever really notice it, but the second I docked it, I was like, whoa.
To me, like 95% of the gaming I've done on that Switch has been in handheld mode, and it's an excellent handheld console. Again, why I want the Switch, Super Switch, Switch Pro, Switch 2. What was the other one I wrote? Switch Pro. Yeah, that's all the ones. I mean, people like to come up with what they're going to call it, which is funny. I keep saying the Nintendo Snap or, you know, Clap. The Nintendo Clap.
The Nintendo Clap.
Like, what are they going to do in all their new trailers? I need that thing to be handheld, in, you know, have a handheld mode, because that's what I want, but
was so wonderful.
Even if it wasn't that much more powerful, Gage, and it just could, you know, put out a 4K signal to a 4K TV, that alone, and like even running games 4K 30 FPS, that alone is it. That's all I really need from that console. Like, look good enough, cartoony, fine, it's Nintendo, whatever, but let me do it in 4K, you know what I mean? And the handheld screen 1080p, now we're fucking talking.
Yeah. And you know, make the handheld screen a little bit bigger, or at least like decrease the bezel a lot, you know, like like something like that. And then I would love it if it was OLED, but I think that they probably won't necessarily do that off the rip.
That'll be a different SKU later, like they did this time, you know, because it's just costly to develop or to produce OLED technology, but it sure would be hot as hell.
Yep. It's not a real big problem, because micro SD cards aren't that much, but give me some more storage on that fucker. Dude, so funny. 35.
My brain was going to the same place at the same time. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, totally. Yeah. I mean, the first Switch has 35 gigs native, which by the time you run the OS is like 29 gigs. Mm-hmm. And then like there are Nintendo games themselves that just take up that entire hard drive.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, So, you know,
yeah, give us a terabyte on that thing would be insane. But even if like 500, storage
is so small now, you know, it's like you can get it in there. Yeah. I know you can, but it's more about they want to keep the cost down, I think, is what they why they do that. Well, but, at least 500 gigs, and then the micro SDs are easy, you know. So
think of it this way, man. In the time the Switch has been out, which, you know, technically was developed before the time that it had been on sale, SSD technology has advanced like insane insane degrees. I mean, I could pull out the housing, but like M.2 drive is like this big. You could shove that fucking thing in a, you know, in there. Easily. And we're hearing it's a little bigger. You know what I mean? That's fine. You know, so I would expect at least 500 gigabytes internal space, and then with expandable memory, you know, like a card or whatever.
I bought a micro SD card that fits in the Switch that was 256 gigs for like $80 or something like that.
Yeah, same story, probably earlier than that for 100 gigs, and I haven't filled that thing up still.
I never filled my Switch up either.
I don't really buy Nintendo games, so.
Yeah, the Switch mainly became my... the Switch mainly became my indie handheld thing. Mm-hmm. Oh bother! One question that I have, is do you think that the Joy-Cons will be compatible?
Fuck
you know
no.
what I mean?
Absolutely you not. Totally not. Onwards? It'll be completely different. Totally proprietary. Yep. Different totally. Or you know different peripheral. It will work different. It'll be similar but different enough. With a couple extra features where you cannot use them. Joy-Cons will only be for your Switch. And you know why? This is actually a good thing. You know why? Because the Joy-Cons fucking suck. They fall apart.
They do suck.
They stop working. You gotta like become an engineer because you bought a Nintendo console, or you're gonna have to spend $80 to replace one of those damn things. So
I know. They always drift. The left one always drifts. It's like
not just the left one. They can all drift.
Yeah. Word. Yeah. No, it's rough. And you know what? I do think that with Doug Bowser at the head of Nintendo of America, I definitely think that this next jump, whatever it is, we're going off of a lot of rumors and industry speak and behind closed doors stuff. But I do think that Doug Bowser is one of the reasons that he took over Nintendo of America. I think he is going to lead Nintendo a little bit away from the weird Nintendo decisions. I mean, Nintendo is always going to have the Japan element, and they're going to adhere to their toy over electronic mentality that they have. So there's always going to be weird Nintendo decisions. I don't think we're ever going to get away from that. But I do think Doug Bowser is going to push, at least on the hardware front, for this to be more of just a power update and not... I don't think we're going to get a completely left turn like we did with the Wii or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, like you said, it'll probably just keep the same functionality of the Switch. The one thing I would be interested in is I wonder if there's going to be some sort of streaming something in there where it's like stream to your TV or... You know, that the same sort of thing where like Sony has AirPlay, Xbox has, you
like
know,
casting.
Whatever that casting, like exactly.
Working casting features into it. Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know.
What I always expect from Nintendo in a console is some kind of innovation. Even the Wii U did something different. It had the tablet, which was almost like a precursor for the Switch itself too. But like I can see more than just, hey, here's a better Switch. Like there's gonna be some kind of gimmick. There's gonna be some 100%. Weird new shit. 100%. You know what I mean? That they wanna have you buy some extra stuff. But like I think that the I forget what they're called, but the little toy guys, I think those are done.
Amiibo.
Yeah, hey, I think they're gonna like I feel like the Amiibo's like final hurrah was like the last few stragglers we got from like Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Smash Bros. 100%.
And that's done. I think Amiibo is done forever. And Nintendo is always known to like stop doing something and just be like, this is it. We're done. We did this. We're done with this. We're gonna move on. So that's my expectation at this point.
Yeah, no, I think so too. It's just, it's one of those things where you just really can't I couldn't possibly predict what that gimmick would be. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah, it's going to be like fucking, it'll be a smartwatch that connects to your console.
Maybe. Or like, like, what if there's like maybe AR functionality or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I mean, AR, VR, AI, those are like the three like acronyms right now, and so I could see some sort of bundling in some sort of like form of one of those things in this new console, and God help us all if AI is the thing beyond
what
like,
if it's a Mario a what DLSS. If it's a Mario AI.
I'm just saying, people are so like fucking like, oh, I hate AI. Like, you say the word AI, they're like, it's bad. I hate it. It's bad. Like, immediately, it's, you know, so if Nintendo went that way, we're all fucked. Nintendo is fucked. No one's going to buy the console.
It would be
like
really
these like, big demonstrations of people like, I'll never buy Nintendo again. So I doubt it'd be AI unless, like you said, it is something stupid and hilarious like Mario Alexa AI.
Like, you're in the middle of a Mario game and like, in order to get a hint or something, you're like, Mario, tell me a hint, and he's like, wahoo, this way.
Oh, and you're like, oh my god, would be slightly different because you know,
Charles Martinet
is no longer the guy. But hey, I liked Wonder was so good, and whoever did those voices was pretty legit.
So, totally.
I don't know, we'll see. I want a Samus, you know,
dude. I know, give me, I mean, don't put out Metroid Prime,
give me a Star
don't
Fox.
Put out Don't put out Metroid Prime 4 this year so that my fantasy team doesn't get fucked, but put it out next year, and that's great. I definitely want it.
I guarantee you that game is not coming this year, and it probably will be the launch title for the new Nintendo Switch, whatever the fuck.
God, and if it's 4K and it just looks fucking gorgeous. And the one thing that I will say is that there was a time when Nintendo games were legitimately pushing the boundary as far as what graphical fidelity could do. Like, when I first played Metroid Prime 4, I had never seen a game like that in my entire life. It was absolutely stunningly gorgeous. Like, and I'd already played Halo. Like, it had a different look to it that was amazing. So, I would love for Nintendo to strive to do that again. You know, with art style and stuff, they do it. They're certainly pushing the boundary as far as like the physics in Tears of the Kingdom and all that kind of stuff was definitely revolutionary. But
Huge.
I don't know. I would love to see them like put some emphasis on having a few of their games look gorgeous. I mean, you know, even like I don't know, like a lot of the Zelda games and stuff at the time they came out were some of the prettiest games around, you know? So I don't know. We'll see.
Yep.
What if Pokemon could run? That'd be great. Make a Pokemon run good on your console. That'd be nice.
Backwards compatibility would be great, but I'm not going to hold my breath. Nintendo wants you to buy like multiple copies of shit. That's how they do it.
The one thing I think they will probably keep in a certain iteration is Nintendo Switch Online. I think that ecosystem will probably continue forward. So hopefully that means that your Nintendo account will stay. And so that like at least games that are forward or backward compatible, whatever you want to call it, will hang out. That'd be amazing.
I don't know. You're already like, just that statement made me think like, there's a reason why they wouldn't do it now. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Yeah. It's not your fault.
We'll see. We'll see.
No, but what was I about to say? At the very least, I hope with your Nintendo Switch Online membership, it'll be a painless transition. You'll just keep paying monthly or, you know, yearly for that, and you'll still have access to like NES games, SNES games, or if you have the expansion pack, you know, the N64, Game Boy Advance, whatever. You know, I wouldn't see a good reason for them to not just carry that system forward, but in terms of like it giving you access to certain games or certain like stuff within the games, I don't think that would guarantee that those games would play on the next console. Like, for instance, the DLC for games being included in the expansion pass, I don't see guaranteeing that those games will run on the next console. I just see that them I could see them including future DLCs in that subscription, though, for like, you know, future games. I could see them doing something like that. But hey, again, we're saying all this shit could completely be wrong. We could have no, you know, Nintendo just does whatever the fuck it wants. And we just buy their console and then we're like, cool, I like Mario. And that's that.
Really? Yep. It's kind of why we love them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever. But yeah, there you go. Is there anything else that we haven't mentioned that you would like to see from Next Gen in general, not necessarily from Nintendo, before we get out of here?
No, I mean, for the most part, I think we hit upon everything. That's really, like, what is a console, right? A console is not a computer. So when I think console, I'm not talking about Steam Deck. I'm not talking about ROG Ally or anything like that. So if we're just talking about essentially Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo, I think we hit the nail on the head. And just to kind of go over those again, Xbox, handheld, yeah, do it. Can't wait for it. Probably buy that. That'd be pretty excellent. I would buy an Xbox handheld over a Steam Deck or a ROG Ally, especially if it was Windows compatible. I don't know. I mean,
100%.
The game, I mean, my Steam library is excellent, but my Game Pass library is like, you know, I'm beholden to that shit. So if you were giving me a device where I can natively play them on it, that is excellent. So looking forward to that. Next gen refreshes, I don't care. I have the fucking console. I'm not buying another Xbox Series X refresh. I'm not buying another PS5 type. That's my stance on that. And then as for actual next generation stuff, like the Series Y or whatever the hell they're going to call it, like the next Xbox, the next PS5 or the PS6, whatever, I would like to see them do something different. Like with the Series X jump, I felt like their UI didn't look different. Their controllers didn't really look different. It was a little different. You know, and it didn't feel super different. But with the PS5, we had those incredible controllers that did a lot of new things. It did look and feel different. You know, there was like a good, you know, UI upgrade design. Like, so I want to see that type of jump with all these consoles. And then when it comes again to Nintendo, we just need something that is still available to play handheld, looks better, has a 4K dock mode, and just wows us. You know, like, whoa, Nintendo did it again. They did something crazy and innovative. Like, so that's where I'm sitting with all of these, you know, concepts. And then again, like, when will we see this shit? I could see the Xbox handheld way sooner. You know, like they were saying, like, this year, doubtful. Maybe next year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
I think the earliest we would see it would be like fall of next year, holiday of next year.
Right.
But I would argue maybe even more like 2026. Although who knows? Yeah. Stuff can get turned around pretty quick these days. So
I'm just saying, like, from at least what I think, I could see the handheld coming before the next actual next gen console. But 100%. Like in terms of the next gen consoles, and also Nintendo's different because I know that's coming sooner than the other next gen. They're kind of like in like an in between. Mm-hmm. Kind of in between Z's timeline. I don't know. But these next gen consoles from Xbox and PlayStation, we won't see them for a while. So I don't know. We'll have this conversation again and it'll be way less speculative.
Totally. I think 2028 is probably a good bet as far as, like, you know, which is a crazy thing to say out loud. 2028 is going to be wild. Life is going to be a whole nother thing in 2028.
I'll be 41.
There you go. I'll be 38. So there you go.
Another thing to just kind of throw out there, VR, AR. Xbox saying the largest console leap. I mean, that could be kind of the next foray. So I don't know. In the next few years, let's really keep our eyes on AR and VR being like more a part of this kind of conversation, like for consoles in general, like what they're, what's just like bundled in, you know? It's not so much like PSVR 2 or whatever is a separate device, like almost like you're buying it and then it comes with goggles or something. I don't know. I'm just saying that's some crazy shit, but
yeah, it could, I mean, be don't the, do the, could don't be the do next the bundling step. In next thing that you did last time that screwed you over. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I want personally AR and VR technology to integrate better and easier into stuff. I mean, heads-up displays on on car windshields I'm super about. I'd love to get some more legit Google Glass type of shit going on. Contact lenses or something. Xbox contact lenses.
That, I mean, that's coming. You know that, yeah, shit's coming, dude.
And we'll get there. I'll put them in. I'll do it.
I'll be like,
I will too. I'll be like, oh, that hurts the first time, but then you get used to it.
I'll be like, every time I close my eyes, I see Master Chief. He just won't go away.
I need a weapon.
Missions change. They always do. Bother.
I'm so happy I have some new sounds, man, you know?
Peed in my fucking rug.
That's right, dude.
Well, you guys. Well, you guys. Well, Jacob. I think we did it.
Yay! Hold on, wait. This one's from my favorite movie.
It was bad. It had nothing. No fire, no energy, no nothing.
That's kind of a downer, but I just thought it was fun. Let me just do this one instead.
Now I'm radioactive. Okay. That can't be good.
But it is good.
There you go. It is good.
We've infected you with our awesome radioactivity, baby.
Yeah, man. So this has been a neon topic discussion. This is our show on Neon Gaming Dimension, where we discuss, big overarching topics within the gaming industry. We're going to have more coming up for you very soon. But it was nice to take a break from the Neon Pocket Dimension and do this tonight with you. It was fun to talk with some games. We've had a couple of these in the chamber for a while, but we just haven't found a good time to get together and do it. So the other fellas had some other plans this evening. So it was good time to do it. So
hell yeah, man.
Totally and completely badass.
Exactly. Thanks, Mac. you can catch all of our content on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/@neongamingdimension. However, when we stream for Neon Gaming Dimension, it is on twitch.tv/neonpocketdimension. Check out all of our other stuff if you want non-gaming content. Neon Pocket Dimension is the place to check that out. Also, Odd Valley Studios, the Odd Valley Tavern Show, is our OG drinking show hosted by Mr. Jacob Jones and his lovely partner Joy. You guys got any of those coming up in the next couple Fridays?
Yeah, April 26th, so not this Friday, but two Fridays after that, we will do another episode. I don't know what it's going to be about yet, man. We'll figure that out.
There you go. The big thing is, follow us on Twitter/X at NPD Squad. Anytime we have content coming up or, big things to announce, we'll always be tweeting out there for you guys. And, this video will be up shortly. You can check it out. And give us a like and a subscribe. Leave us a review. This will be on podcast audio, too. So if you're not a video person, you can always check it out on your favorite podcast service around the world. For Neon Gaming Dimension, I have been Gage, and that has been Jacob. We will catch you next time when we're Neon Topic.